And we are continuing a series called Great by Grace. And I titled this message, Problems Have Purpose. Never go through a problem that has no purpose. Because the problems are going to come. I met a group of people, and they are awesome. They're absolutely awesome. I don't know their spiritual life, but they drive the wiener trucks for Oscar Mayer. Love those people. I remember as a kid, one rode through my town in the backwoods of Florida, right? And we were all so excited. They gave out whistles. It was amazing. And I will never forget it. And so when I was talking to the guy, he was telling me he's like, yeah, I'm going to Atlanta. I'll probably go to, and once I get there, I'll be distributed out to the South. I said, you go to St. George Island, Florida. You go there and you stop and you hand out all the whistles you got. Bring extra whistles. And he looks kind of weird at me. I'm like, look, I remember when I was a child that happened. I will never, ever forget it. They ain't got nothing to do. They go to church and that's it. That's all that there is. There's the nearest Walmart's 1 hour and 45 minutes away. They need entertainment. Go. And he goes, I will tell my superiors. I said, I don't care what they say. Just go. So anyway, I had a good time with him. And one of the things, I just loved his attitude. So I was asking him questions about, where do you go? What's your favorite places to go to? And he told me two places that I would never, ever imagine. He named some small town in Iowa. I don't know if there's anything fun to do in Iowa. In Huntsville, Alabama. I'm like, Huntsville, that's a tiny little place. Huntsville was your favorite place? And he says, yeah, and they are the center of, like, science rockets and the study and all that. Even if you stop, if you ever drive through Huntsville on the interstate, right, one of their rest stops has a rocket, like a NASA rocket outside. It's huge. That's the first reason I ever stopped in Huntsville, because why else would you want to? I stopped just to see the rocket. It was fantastic. And so I was talking to him, and he said, the biggest thing about this job is your attitude. He said, so many people do this will complain and complain and complain about the towns and how small they are and where we go, and this is not going to be fun, and blah, 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 blah. And he said, if you just go in with the attitude, I'm going to go in, and I'm going to find what this town is good at. I'm going to find their best restaurant. I'm going to find what they specialize in, and I'm going to enjoy this city. And he said, if you change your attitude, everything else will fall in line. And I told him, I looked, my vernacular is a little different, because I'm like, preach it! And he looks at me a little weird, and I'm like, I'm sorry, I get excited. And I'm going to tell you something else that's weird that I do. Just a side note, if you're ever quizzed in heaven, you'll pass this. When I get happy, I clap. Do you know why? Because I was raised in a Pentecostal church. When we're happy, we clap. It just comes along with how we live. And so he was talking to me, said something made me happy, and I just clapped, and I noticed all of that. I'm like, I'm not going to be a weirdo anymore. You can always tell who was raised in church culture. It sets you apart. Because, people that's not even set in church culture, sometimes they'll say, God is good, and you finish it all the time, and they look at you weird. And so it's just like if you were raised in the culture, VeggieTales, all this stuff if you were raised in the church culture. But I love what he said, because what he said is biblically true. Our attitudes are everything, and our attitude really does reflect what we believe on the inside. What you believe will affect your attitude. And so when I say never go through a problem that doesn't have purpose, now look, you don't go around finding problems. I don't go around believing God, Father, send me a really big problem today in the name of Jesus. Lord, that's a joke. I don't mean that. That's a satire. God does not send you problems are going to come. It rains upon the just and the unjust alike. But never go through a problem that you're not determined that the goodness of God is going to shine through it. Because some people will go their whole life through problems, living and dying, and let problems affect their attitude, the way they look at things, and they become, I'm sorry if your name is Debbie, but that's the only way I know to put it, Debbie Downer. I know, right? And so, there's people that you can say great things are going on in your life. Well, be like, I got a raise. Well, I hope you don't go into a new tax bracket. Government will take it all. They'll take it all. Well, you know, God is moving. I even saw, this really happened. I was with someone and it says, you know, God has blessed me so much that I'm able to get off welfare and I'm able to stand on my own 2 feet. And the person says, do you know how much money you're going to lose? Do you know how much money you're going to lose? I'm like, I just want to be like, shut up. That's a terrible way of looking at things. God has blessed you. Praise God. But your attitude is going to determine how you come through something. And you can come through things with a good attitude and cause it to teach, have a blessing on your life, and produce things you want in your life. You will never go through a problem or a fire or trial for the sake of the gospel that blessing is not attached to it. God does not allow you to go through something for his sake. Hello, and I want to be very clear. There's some things we do, and it's not for his sake. And there's some things, you know, we go through, but it is for his sake. And there's some things we've done that, maxing out your credit card is not what the Lord has called you to do. And you're like, oh, the devil's coming against me. He's just hurting me. Oh, the attacks of the enemy. What's the devil doing? He keeps calling me every day between 2 and 5, asking for me to pay my minimum balance. That ain't the devil, honey. That's Visa, American Express, Master. That's all those people. That wasn't God. That's you. Now, the good news is if you've done that and you've noticed it, you can repent. About lost my glasses. You can repent, turn from your ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. He can get you out of a mess that you got yourself into. That's good news, people. You could have made all the decisions purposely, on purpose. You made a decision on purpose to get out of the will of God, and it's caused you some trouble. The good news is today, on purpose, you can make a decision to get back in the will of God, and God will deal with the things that have come up in your life because of what you have done. He will help you. I'm not saying, now see, I want to be very clear. There's almost a doctrine, and I will quote the scripture today, but I want to be very clear that it's not the way that we have interpreted it or how we've made it sound. The Baptists get this right, but the Pentecostals, we miss it. The Baptists quote all of it. The Pentecostals only quote what makes them happy. Sorry. I crack my own self up, which makes me happy. And so, thank you. I wasn't looking for it. I wasn't. Come on. I wasn't. The people on the podcast can't hear you. Pick it up a little. No. So, in this, I don't even know where I was going. I got so off track. Where was I going? What did I say last? The Baptist. Okay, so the scripture is God will make a way of escape. Now, God will make a way. Let me give it to you the Pentecostal way. Oh, you're going through stuff. Yeah. The devil's coming after you. Oh, they're walking forward first, but when they get to the other part, they have to back up. The devil's coming after you. It's gloom. The fire's burning. But God will make a way of escape. And we get the mentality that God's going to make up a way of escape, like us running from something. So we never have to deal with it. We never feel the fire. We never feel the heat. We never have to deal with it because God has caused us to escape it. Now let me give it to you like the Baptists do it. Thank you everyone for coming to church today. We're going to take an in-depth detailed look at the Word of God. I don't know why they sound a little like Kermit, but... God will make a way of escape. That you right there, that you may bear it, that you will be able to deal with it. The Pentecostals missed that last part. God will make a way of escape that you will be empowered, that you might have the grace of God on the inside of you, that problem would crush you on your own. You would never make it through it. Life would destroy you, would bury you, but because you got God on the inside of you, they didn't realize that you were a seed, that all it needed was a little bit of dirt and water to bloom. Thank you. So the word of God gets on the inside of you. The enemy tries to kill you. And God says, I'm going to give you a grace so that you can handle it. The heat that other people wilt, the other people fall away, the other people die off. Oh, no, 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 no. I'm going to give you the ability to handle it. In your family, in your workplace, you'll be able to walk in with ideas that will set them free, that will solve the problem, that will cause you to be promoted, because the God on the inside of you is the one who has the answer to every problem. You'll never face problems again that all you deal with is a problem. You will begin to see that God has an answer, a purpose for you, and that will cause the enemy. Because, oh, this is my mentality. If you, I always joke, this is a joke. I always joke that, the church needs a mafia. It's like, we'll break your legs and then we'll pray for you afterwards. No, that's a joke. I joke, Pastor Mac Hammond and Living Word Christian Center, small church, about 10,000 people. I always joke when I'm with him, I joke that he's the leader of the mafia. I tell him he's the leader, and I talk with him, and I'm like, just give me Wisconsin. I'll do whatever you want. Just give me Wisconsin. And he looks at me and says, Tim, I don't know how many times I have to tell you, there is no church mafia. I'm like, I understand. But just give me Wisconsin. Please give me Madison, but give me Wisconsin. We'll do great things. And so in this, why does the church need a mafia? Because we need to take care of some problems. But see, we don't take care of it like the world. We don't go around breaking legs. We're like, you didn't tithe this week? Sure would hate to see something happen to you. No. That's terrible. It's terribly funny, but it's still terrible. It's still terrible. But in all of this, we need a group of people that will take care of things in prayer. We need a group of people that will stand up and hold the arms of their brothers and sisters up. When the enemy comes to attack, we need to recognize that even the devil, he's touched one of us, we will on purpose touch his kingdom. If he's come against one of us, we'll make sure he pays for it. We need to have the mentality, oh, you come against my family, or I'm going to a place I would never go. I'm going to go to an area that I have never been to, and I'm going to witness. I'm going to tell somebody about Jesus. Devil, you hurt one of mine, I'm coming for five of yours. We need to have the mentality, we'll burn your house down. In the spirit. Reminds me of a story. Now, this is true. This is true. I looked it up to make sure this was true. There was a bar owner suing a church. His bar burnt down. Natural causes. And he sued the church because he heard the church was praying that his business would shut down. And he said he couldn't afford to rebuild. And so he sued the church for the money to rebuild. Now, in the deal, in the courtroom, the church said we had no part of it. So at the end, the judge ruled. He said, so what I have here is a bar owner that believes in the power of prayer and a church that denies it. Sorry. No, I'm not saying God's going to burn anything down. But what I am saying is the prayer of a righteous person availeth much. Now, I believe in the love of God, and I'm more for affecting the heart of people than burning buildings down. Now, there is a religion on the face of the earth that will kill, that will steal, and that will destroy to control the local population. That is not who Christianity is. We do not have those mafia mentality on a negative side. We have a mafia mentality. We'll bless you till you can't handle anymore. We'll cause the favor of God to shine in your life till everything in you bows to the name of Jesus. You will not be able to deny it. Angels will show up. God himself will preach to you. Whatever needs to happen will happen for the blessing of the Lord to pour out in your life. Gone is the day of the church. Lord, burn them, shake them, destroy them, come against them. No, the prayer of the church is, God, show them your humanity. Show them your love. Show them your glory. Show them your mercy. Father, move in their life till they can't handle being the same. Cause them to see who they are in Christ Jesus and what you created them for. Lord, turn their life around. Cause them to step into what they're called to do. That should be the prayer of the church. We're not interested in them hurting, dying. We're not interested in God maiming them. We're interested in God healing them. Causing their heart to become whole. Causing them to stand up for the gospel. Causing them to reach people that you could never talk to or who would never listen to you. Ah, oh, God is good and His mercy endures forever. So Psalms 34:19. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Not some of them. Not 1/4. Not 2/4. Not 1/3. Not 3/4. But all of them. So if you're in a problem right now, God has the ability to deliver you out of them all. Oof. Problems have a purpose. And they're not, but see, people will blame God for the problem. God never caused your problem. God had the solution for your problem. Man's fall caused a lot of problems. But God had the answer to all of them. You could write this down, Isaiah 54:17. No weapon, we talked about this, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. Notice that it doesn't say no weapon will be formed. We talked about the way of escape, right? So most people believe, I will escape this. I won't feel it. And so then they said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. I won't even have somebody, you know, no missiles, no arrows, nothing's going to even happen. It won't prosper. It won't even be formed. God didn't say it wouldn't be formed. He said it wouldn't prosper. And the definition here of prosper is, it's actually the Greek word. Are you ready for this? Selak, I'm pretty sure. Selak. What? Say it again. Selak. Hebrew. Archelion. One or the other. It means to bring a successful end. So no weapon will have a successful end in your life. You'll face problems. The enemy will shoot arrows at you just like he's shooting arrows at everyone else. And it may cause some people to fall. It may cause some people to stumble. But you got the Word of God on the inside of you and the knowledge, the absolute knowledge, the attitude, the understanding that this weapon will burn out before it ever hits me. That even if I feel the heat around me, it will not destroy me. It will not. It might cause some things of me to let go that you needed to let go of anyway. Might not even be a sin. Might be something you're holding on to that you can't have in your next position. And God will use it to refine you, to cause you to be able to stand, cause patience in your life, do a lot of things. Now, God didn't cause it, but God will bring a blessing through it. You will not fall. You will not stumble. It will not have the effect. It will not have a successful end. The end is to destroy you. It's to crush your faith. It is to get you out of the will of God. And the Bible tells us no weapon formed against us will have the successful end or actually come to pass what the enemy has designed for it to do. Look at your neighbor and say, what the enemy has planned for my life will not come to pass. Oh, some of you may say, maybe even been in times, I've been in it, where it looks like if you judged it by the natural, if you looked around what's going on, you might say, ha, 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 Jesus, I just want to have a conversation with you, Jesus. You know, I normally have these conversations with him by myself. I normally don't like to have it in front of other people, you know, because I was always told not to fight in front of people. I'm just kidding. I don't fight with Jesus. He always wins. But I'm like, Lord, you know, if I looked around in the natural, that whole no weapon formed against me thing shall prosper doesn't quite look like it's working. if it doesn't look like it's working, it's not done yet. It's just not done yet. And we can cause our attitude to change and look at the problem. Father, if it's not done yet, I don't know what you're doing, but I am so thankful that you're doing it. Could you, Father, I can't even imagine what I would be like right now if you weren't involved in it. I can't even imagine right now how my life would be different if this problem came on me without the Holy Spirit on the inside of me leading, guiding, and directing me. I may not see the end game, but I know the author and the finisher of my faith. I know the man who knows the end from the beginning. So I thank you, God, that this didn't shock you. And if it was a big enough deal that I needed to know about it, I trust you enough you would have told me and warned me ahead of time. And the fact that you didn't even tell me that this was coming already lets me know the end game is in my favor. That you're going to pull this through, and I will be better on the outside of this than when I was going in it. We don't judge by the situation around us or by the circumstances around us, by who is with us or against us, but we judge it by the word of the Lord. God, I thank you that you're going to make a way of escape. I'll handle this. And when I look back, I'll see you involved in it. I may not see your hand in this at the moment, but God, I will look back and I will see it. And how about this? Even if I don't see it, I'm thankful. And let's get the attitude that God may even be saving us for something, saving us from something. You know, some things, there might be, looks like a huge blessing in our life. Looks like a huge blessing in our lives. And then all of a sudden, that falls through. Now, I'm not saying you're going to have to fight for what God has on the inside of you. You're going to have to pray. You're going to have to do some things. You're going to have to be faithful. You're going to have to be faithful with this word. You're going to have to be faithful with some things. And as you are continuing to be faithful, God's going to increase you, bring you to places that you need to be, bring you in front of people. So I'm not saying there's no fight. There's a fight to faith. But there's some things that God is saving you from you don't even know. And that's always been my mentality. When something falls, God, I don't know. Maybe you're saving me from something. But whatever it is, I praise you. I thank you. And sometimes even in the midst of the problem, I thought it was destroyed. Wasn't going to happen. And God still brings it through. And I thank him anyway. And then there's some things that absolutely in the natural look like it fell apart. And I continue to thank him because God is good and he could be saving me from something. But whatever he does, he's going to bring me into greater things. He's not going to, he didn't bring me in life. This is not God. Can I tell you? Because this is the way, if we really just put it into the natural conversation, we would understand how ridiculous it is. Some of us, would be like, God, God the Father's up there with God the Holy Spirit, and Jesus, and all this. And he's like, hey, Jesus, watch this. I'm about to bring something to Tim. It's really going to torture him. It's going to be terrible. And let's just watch. Can't believe he suffers, and he's still going to praise me. That's the mentality of most people. They believe that God is up there bringing torturous things to them and that he's God and it's okay. God does not torture his kids. He loves them. God does not make his kids sick. You would go to jail if you injected your kid with something. If you injected your kid to make them have the flu, HIV, or anything like that, they would take you to prison. But yet we say God would give you something that we would go to jail for. We deem cruelty. It's interesting. Just interesting. Just put that out there for your thought. God is not bringing things to destroy you in life. He is going to cause you to be overcomer. He's going to cause you to have victory. I'm not saying you will never feel the heat. You will feel the heat. But God will give you deliverance from the heat. He won't cause it to destroy you. You know, I'm reminded of a story I heard from a farmer about when his barn burned down. And he said when he was going through it, he's kicking stuff around, trying to find what he could save, things on the wall, horseshoes, anything that metal, things of that. And he just saw a dead hen, a burned hen. And he kicked the hen and just kind of bumped it and moved. And then all of a sudden her chicks came out from underneath alive. And most people think that God is being cruel to them and letting them go through pain and heat. But what he's doing is he sent his son Jesus to die for us, to cover, to give us protection from the heat, to enable us to bear what is coming against us. Don't get out from underneath the covering of the Holy Spirit. Don't talk and blame God for everything that's going wrong in your life, but acknowledge him in all your ways and he will absolutely 100% direct your path. Oh, thank you, Lord, for directing our path. Now, I got 6 points this morning, and we're just about to start our sermon. No, that is true, the 6 points. I'm only going to give you 3, and they're going to be fast. Yes, okay. I always tell you a time, and then I lie to you. I don't like lying to you, so let's not say it. Point number one, are you ready? Now, I'm going to give you some points this morning to minimize your suffering in your midst of your problem. That will help you get away from the heat, to cause you to be able to bear what is around you in life, whether it's family problems, whether it's coworker problems, whatever the problem may be, maybe addiction, maybe all this stuff. I'm going to give you a couple steps that will help you get relief from the fire and the heat that is burning around you. 1, maintain your praise life. Maintain your praise life. Praise God. Now, you may, what I like to call a boring praiser. You may be an absolute boring praiser. You may just, Father, thank you. You're so good. You're awesome. I love you. Thank you for this day. Our daily bread is awesome. I love you, Lord. Amen. To you, to Jesus. Now, that may be the way you praise Jesus. And I'm sorry if that's the way you praise Jesus. It just seems really boring to me because I'm a loud person and I like to be loud. I like to raise my hand. I like to be expressive. I know that doesn't come out through my personality, but it's true. It's true. And when I really praise, I don't like to be. I'll bring my kids in because they think weird is awesome right now. You know, They're not teenagers. They believe to be weird is funny, and they like it. And so I like praising God. I like praising God with my little girls. Jessie, she knows I'm weird, so I don't want to give her, you know, ammunition to absolutely prove it. And so I just like to praise God. And when I praise God, a lot of times I do it on my own. I'll jack the music up. I don't need music. I absolutely don't need music. I can get, you know, radical for Jesus without any music. But, you know, I like it. And so I like I was talking about a song this morning. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he justified me. Freed me forever. One day he's coming back. Glory is foretold. So anyway, we used to sing songs like that in church, and we were I loved it. I just loved the music. And so I'll turn some old music on. I'll sing some old music, and I will begin to praise God, and I will begin to thank him. I'll pray in tongues in my most holy faith, and I will worship the Lord. And yours may look a lot different than mine, and that's okay. That's absolutely okay, but you need to praise the Lord. Having a praise life on the inside of you is one of our highest forms of faith. It's to praise God in the midst of a problem. It's saying, God, I don't see the end. I don't see how you're going to squash this. I don't see how you're going to save me from this. But I recognize, God, that you are. I like a lot of times, King David could have been a Debbie Downer. But he was, you know, he believed in God. And so he would always talk about the bad things. And I'm not saying you can't ever acknowledge. Because sometimes when we get in charismatic circles, I believe you can't acknowledge the problems that are going on around you. Oh, don't say that. That's not faith. Don't say it. Well, David, I love David. David would say things I would never think of saying. I never want to say. I might have thought about maybe 1/4 of it, but not the full thing that he would say. He would say, Lord, my enemies, crush them with young lions. May young lions rip, I'll add a little bit to it, rip their throat out. Now see, he didn't say that, but he did say kill them. Let them kill them. But not only him, not only the man that did this, but his entire family. I'm like, I wouldn't say that about the family. Oh, they might have kids. That's not good. But David would get in a mood where he would just like, Lord, kill them. Kill them all. And when you do it in the most horrible, scary way that you could possibly do it. And I'm like, eesh, that's a little rough, David. Tone that down. Tone that down. But then what I do love about David, even though he would pray that, he would always end it with, but Lord, I know you shall deliver me out of it all. I know you shall deliver me. See, it's fine to acknowledge problems, but it's also you need to acknowledge the answer. You need to acknowledge that God will deliver you out of them all. I am kicking everybody's stuff. In the center, I'm just going to kick it. I apologize in advance. Don't put anything important, especially children. That's just a warning. And so in this, let's look. You can write this down. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 16, and then I'll jump to 18. It says, rejoice evermore. 18 says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Wait, what's the will of God? God, show me your will. I want to know your will. It's right here. Right here, one of the will of God. We're so looking for signs and wanting to know the will of God, and we'll pray for hours for the will of God. How about just start operating in what we do know is the will of God? How about this? In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will in Christ Jesus in your life. I don't feel like praising. You don't know what I've gone through. It's so sad. It is sad. I'm telling you, I have listened to sad stories in the body of Christ, and I guarantee if we sat here today, we could go through each person's testimony, listen to what's going on in their life, and we would all cry and be in tears about what we have faced and what we have gone through. But I'm going to tell you this, when we begin to rejoice, it puts our faith into actions. You know, the old timers where I came from, would say it will put legs on your prayers. It will cause your prayers to get up and begin to run. Why? Because you have the greatest seed. You're mixing your prayers with the greatest seed on the face of the earth. What is that? It is the Word of God. The Word of God will put legs on your prayers. In other words, it'll cause them to come to pass. Because you're not praying. This is, Lord, your will be done. And I understand wanting to pray the will of God, absolutely. But we also have God's will revelation in our heart. We can pray some of the things that we know are the will of God. And I understand that there are things we face that we may not know the will of God, but we know God will be involved and bring them to pass. But there are some things we absolutely know the will of God. And so one of the will of God's for your life is to praise Him. And so we need to maintain a life of praising God, rejoicing. Philippines, you got me on Philippines. Philippians 4:4. Philippines 4:4 says, rejoice in the Lord sometimes. Oh, I'm so thankful for a church that knows the word. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, see, have you ever told your children something and then told them again in the same sentence? Like didn't even take a breath to tell them again? Go clean your room. I'm telling you right now. Right now. Right now. I don't tell my kids to do stuff with glasses on. I'm telling you right now, clean your room. And I want you to understand something. That if I go up there and it ain't clean when I get there, there might be some consequences that are going to come. And then I'll tell them the consequences that will follow. Why am I going that detail? Because I want them to know how serious I am about them doing what I just told them. And God says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Can I tell you something? One of the reasons is God knows there will be trials and temptations and fire that will come down. And He ain't telling you because He's going to bring the thunder. Because in my house, I will bring the thunder. Obey. But God doesn't come that same way. He will say, I'm telling you, this is for your benefit. I want you to have a break from the heat. See, this could destroy you if you don't listen to the next thing. I'm telling you, rejoice. Always again, I want you to know rejoice. Why? Because it will give you a way of escape. It will cause everything to lighten up. It will cause your attitude to change. It will cause your outlook to change. Why? Because all of a sudden, you're adding God's word to a problem that looks like it's going to overtake you. Looks like your boat is going to sink. It looks like the storm is going to take you down. But all of a sudden, you begin to rejoice and rejoice. And God is in the problem. God is in the situation. And He causes an answer to come about. He's telling you, stay in good attitude. Stay of good heart. You have victory over this. And I just want you right now to begin to claim victory. To begin to praise. And it will help you have a break from the things that are trying to destroy you. It will cause you to be able to stand up when in the past it would have caused you to fall. So, number one, maintain your praise life. Number two, maintain your study life. Maintain your study life. Psalms 119 and verse 11, you can write that down. Thy words have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you know there are people who have walked into sin not even knowing it was? I've told you the story when we had somebody in my home church get saved that was an alcoholic, and he didn't know that getting drunk out of his mind was a sin. And so the day he got saved, he took all his friends out to the bar and they got toasted. He's like, I'm buying everybody drinks. I gave my life to Jesus. I gave my life to Jesus. Everybody, let's go. Let's go. We're going to the bar. And they got inebriated. And he had no idea. And even came and testified about it the next Sunday. Right. Let me tell y'all something. I gave my life to Jesus. Changed me forever. I took all my buddies out to the bar. And I mean, we drank till 2 in the morning. Praising Jesus. Praising Jesus. For my life being changed forever. Hallelujah. Didn't even know. Didn't even know. You want to know why? He didn't get there yet. Oh, I remember someone else telling me that they gave their life to Jesus watching Billy Graham in a hotel room. Watching Billy Graham in a hotel room. And he said, he noticed that a Bible was in the drawer. And he said, I stole it. He said, I was so thankful I stole it. And he said, and then I got to the part, thou shalt not steal. I said, crud. Crud. I didn't even know. He said he mailed it back to the hotel. He felt bad. He didn't know. So you got to hide the word of God on the inside of you, and it will cause you not to sin against God. And so we need a steady life on the inside of us. We need to know some of the answers to the problems that we face and some of the attitudes that we should have. Some of us have had attitudes that we were raised with that are wrong, and we wouldn't even know it unless we got in the Word of God. We would talk like mom and daddy talked, fix people or try to fix people like mom and daddy tried to fix people, talk like Aunt Maymay, talk like all these people, and then all of a sudden we get in the Word of God and we see we shouldn't be talking like that, we shouldn't act like that, we shouldn't treat other people like that, we should actually see, as Dr. Deborah Ripshin said this morning over the offering, begin to see people as God sees them, see the gifts on the inside of them, seeing the calling that's in their life, and begin to recognize that and start to value people the same as God valued them. Jesus valued us so much that he gave his life for us, and we need to begin to value other people in the same way. Write this down, 2 Peter 1:4, whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. God tells us that as we hide the word of God in our hearts, it will cause us to be free from the things that the world fall for. We won't be set up and keep falling for the same things over and over and over and over again. You won't be falling. Some of us fall for a partner over and over and over again, and we promise ourselves we'll never get in that situation, and we dive headfirst right back into it. Why? Because we didn't get involved in the family of God. We didn't surround ourselves with the Word. We didn't maintain our praise life. There were some things we didn't do, and we had, and you know, this is true too. I've had this. I had someone tell me when they got saved, they said, Pastor, I feel like I'm dying. I feel like I'm dying on the inside. I said, that is the best description I ever heard, because you have died and all things have been made new. And so there are some things that you mourn. Can I tell you something? When you only have had friends in the world that was, drunk and inebriated, did drugs and all this, and all of a sudden you move into the church world, not you, none of you, but some of the body of Christ is weird. Yeah, it was you. No, I'm just kidding. And all of a sudden, their whole life is changing. And they're mourning the fun times that they had, or the alcohol that they drank to try to kill things. I saw this a meme online where a father was saying, don't drink because it's poisonous. And then the son said, but why are you drinking? He says, I'm trying to kill things on the inside of me that I don't want there. And the world will do that. They will medicate or try to hide things, or, you know, they're not as fun, or they're not as loose with their mouth, and they don't make friends as well. So they'll use that to try to become the life of the party or change or things like that. And that may be all they know. And when they let go of it, it is hard. It's addictive. And they want to go back to it, and they feel like they're dying because they have already died. And the church should not persecute them over it. They should stand with them and become the family of God that we were called to be.
That's right. That's right.
to be there, to love. You know, the Bible says the disciples went around eating at each other's house. I know it's crazy, right? Crock pots and all that kind of stuff out, and people invited people over. They went to they went to Culver's and what? I don't know. What's it? Rocky Rococo's, KFC, yes, Father. Chick-fil-A. No, they didn't go to Chick-fil-A after service. It was closed. Oh, Father, thank you. So they went to all these places together. They ate and they enjoyed and they fellowshiped together. Crazy, but it's biblical. It's biblical. And so we should fellowship together. We should get together. We should be the family that they're looking for. Are you looking for a family? We're a great family to be a part of. We want you at our house. We want you to eat our food. Drink our drinks. In my house, it's Coca-Cola and water. And that's about it. In other people's house, they may miss God and have like Pepsi or something like that. But, yeah, they're God is changing them on the inside. And so we need to maintain our study life. And the last one I'm going to get to today is maintain your prayer life. Luke 18 and 1 says, and he spoke a parable unto them to this end, that men are always to pray and not to faint. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 17 says, pray without ceasing. Romans 12:12 says, rejoice in the hope, patience in tribulation, and continue instant in prayer. So to maintain our spiritual life, to maintain, to minimize suffering in our life, is to continue to praise, is to continue to study, and to continue to pray in God. You can pray in the Holy Spirit. You can pray. And look, God is not upset when you tell him what's going on in your life. First of all, he knows. He knows. And I love being real with the Lord. Because I was raised in a church that we had to come and speak to him in a manner that we didn't speak in regular ways. You know, we had to come before the Lord and say, oh, dear Heavenly Father, I thank thee for all that thine are doing in my life. Oh, Lord, I thank you. We'd speak King James English to the Lord. We'd speak, you know, the King James English to God. And we would, and people in our church would pray out loud that way. And they seemed spiritual and they seemed holy. And we would try to mimic that instead of coming to the Lord and just saying, God, I'm having a rough time. This is an area in my life that I really need you, Father. I don't see the answer. But even like David, we go and say, but God, I know that you are there. I know that you are working. And I thank you for these things that I have seen change. But help me to continue to see you through the storm. And I know, Father, that I will acknowledge you in all my ways. And it's you that will direct my path. If you don't know what to pray, pray the word. If you don't know what to say, sometimes I've been in situations where all I knew was to say the name of Jesus. And I would say, God, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. I'd feel so bound. I'd feel like there was no way out. And I'd say, God, Jesus, I know that you bring freedom. I know that this will not hold me. Help me, God, to see you. Help me to keep my eyes on you. Father, I acknowledge you. You will direct me, and I will walk out of this with you, Lord. You are the only answer to this. I have no understanding, no knowledge, no way to turn, no answer on the inside of me. But I thank you, God, that you know the end from the beginning. And when I need to take a step to the right or to the left, you will lead me and I will follow. Maintain your life. When a problem comes, you can have a place and be in a place. I'm not saying that you're going to run away from it, never experience, but when you experience, God will be there like that hen to take heat off of you, to cause you to stand, that you may bear right where you are. Let's go before the Lord in prayer. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you that you are good and your mercy, it endures forever.